Well, we've been talking about tuning in and hearing God. And in this concluding message, I want to talk about recognizing His voice through relationship, and we're going to talk what that's all about. But how do I know if God is speaking, or is it just my thoughts? Well, let me just tell you a story. There was this pastor and his family, young family, who were asking the Lord about getting an animal. And so finally they decided, they thought the Lord said, go ahead and get a kitty. So they went and got a kitty, and they had the cat for a few days, and finally the younger boy takes the cat outside to play. Well, the cat got a little frisky, climbed up a tree and to a limb. And the boy started yelling for the dad and the mom to come out. And so the pastor and his wife come out, and they see the cat, and they try to coax the cat down. And the cat got a little bit more frisky and decided to go up to a higher limb. And so they were wondering what they were going to do. And so, of course, everybody looks at the pastor for the answer. And so the family looks at their dad and their husband, the pastor, and he looks at them and he says, oh, I have an idea. So he goes to the garage and he starts the car, he backs the car up towards the tree where the cat is in, and he opens up the trunk and grabs a big long rope. He grabs a rope and he slings a rope over the limb where the cat was. And the wife's looking at him, and the kids are looking at him. What are you doing? He says, just allow me to do it. You know, I have the answer. And so what he does is he has the rope, he ties the rope to the bumper of the car. What he's going to do is he's going to go forward, and the limb then is going to start coming down where the wife could grab the cat. All right, so he gets in the car, and he tells his wife, stand right here. And as soon as that cat gets where you can reach, you grab the cat. She goes, okay, I'll do that. So he gets in the car and he puts it in drive. He starts slowly and you can hear the rope kind of creaking a little bit, but it's working. The limb is coming down. And just before the cat gets to the wife's hands, the rope breaks. And boom! The cat disappears. Well, if you'll turn your Bibles to... Sometimes there's not an end to a story. Well, okay. 2 weeks later, they haven't found the cat. So the pastor, doing his due diligence of ministry, goes to a neighbor to see how they were doing because they had been sick and in missed church. So he goes over there, knocks on the door, and the inside door is open, and the wife says, come on in. And he walks in there and looks down, and there's their cat. And he's going, oh, man, am I going to say to them, you stole my cat? No, he says, I'm not going to do that. And so all of a sudden, oh, pastor, come on in. Let me tell you of a miracle that happened in our life. I was out in the garden, and my boy kept pestering me, saying, Mommy, can we get a cat? He says, no, honey, we don't have time to have a cat. But he kept pestering me and pestering me. So I finally thought, you know, I'm going to end this thing. And I'm going to say, honey, okay, well, let's just pray and ask the Lord about this. And so she starts praying and says, Lord, and if you want us to have a cat, then drop a cat right into our lap. And sure enough, the cat dropped into their garden, so they have their cat. Now, that's a coincidence, isn't it? And a lot of times when we talk about the reality of hearing the voice of God and what God is saying to you, there are a lot of times that are coincidences. But I'm telling you, There is never a coincidence when you have relationship with your God and you talk to him on a daily basis because you know his voice. And so this is my premise today is a lot of stuff happens in your life and in mine. And we look at it and we try to, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to spiritualize things and when it's just something that takes place in our life because we were there when it took place. So I'm not trying to degrade the miracle-working God, but I'm trying to tell you we have a tendency to talk to someone that we don't know and we don't know his voice. And because of that, then we don't know really what he's saying, so we have a tendency out of our own consciousness, out of our own emotions, that we have a tendency to feel this is what God is saying to us when literally God hasn't, he's been talking to you, but you haven't heard his voice. And I'm saying to you that God is a God of such grace and mercy. He wants to talk to you every day. He wants to get back to the very essence of creation in Genesis, where every day there was great personal covenant conversation with you and with me. So let's find out how that takes place. Let's learn in concluding this how to recognize God's voice through or because of the relationship that we have with God. By the way, that cat story is just a story I made up. How do I know if God is speaking? Or is it just my thoughts? You can recognize the voice of your spouse or a friend. Why? Because you've spent a lot of time with them and you know their voice. See, the foundation, and you can even write this down, the foundation of hearing God always involves a personal relationship with Jesus, spending time with him. That's why we have all the different aspects of discipleship, OSL, Bible studies, is so that you can learn who you are relating with. But bottom line, we're going to learn today, it's up to you to develop a relationship with your God. Scripture says we are the bride of Christ. Notice the type of relationship that I'm talking about. We have a tendency to think, you know, well, it's someone like we meet at work or we talk to once in a while. But when you become born again, you become the bride of Christ, which identifies that kind of relationship that God desires and has implemented and created us to have with him, a bride, a covenant relationship. So bottom line, we recognize God's voice through relationship. Have you ever thought this, that the Bible, this is true, that the Bible starts with God talking to Adam? I've said this many times. And it ends with God talking to John on the island of Patmos. Always communicating, always talking, listening, talking with someone as we with God. So what I want to say to you, and I'm going to be a little curt maybe, but to somehow think God has stopped talking is ludicrous to me, and it should be to you. But some believe that, some who attend church every single week. We lead someone to Christ. We tell them they can have a personal relationship with God, becoming born again. Then we say, but God doesn't speak to you specifically anymore. That's straight from the pit of hell. Again, as we in this series, I've talked to you about the importance of the Word, and that it is God's spoken word that is written down. And so we have the privilege of reading the written word that was spoken at the beginning. And we're not lessening the importance of you being in the word, which we encourage that too. But people say God doesn't speak specifically anymore. You just have to read the Bible, and hopefully you do the best you can. And I'm telling you, you are literally, if you think that way, you are literally telling God that he's a liar. Because God's desire and just passion is to have conversation with you. Have you ever tried to put a gift together on Christmas before Christmas Day, and it's got a million parts? And sometimes when you buy stuff, it's a lot bigger than you thought, and you need help with that. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send you someone to help you, and he will talk to you, the Holy Spirit, of everything that I am saying, of that I've said. There's a book that I enjoy from Dallas Willard, and it's his book called Hearing God. He says, if God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God. That literally Christianity is dull. It's like some that don't have any friends. So what I've said in this series and what I really want you to understand, and you're going to see this premise the rest of the year in all my sermons, is God does speak, and he speaks through relationship. And when you get this and you live this out, you will have tremendous breakthrough. So I'm going to give you three things about relationship with God we must understand, that it's a choice that you and I have to make. It's something that you and I have to do. So here's the first thing. Relationship with God is our highest priority, or should I say, should be our highest priority if it's not. If you want to hear God, you must or need to develop a relationship with God. And again, it's through all the things that you experience at church and the things that you have at home that you make it a priority, the highest priority, to spend time with God. Praying, reading. And I know everyone would say, I struggle in this area, I'm busy, all that. But understand this reality. It's a choice we have to make, and it's a choice that I make a lot of times. It's a choice that I set things down that I know I need to do, but this is my highest priority, to spend time with God. And so I do it. My brain, and I do stuff like this. I learned this from one of my mentors, Pastor Wayne Cordero, that I worked with quite a bit. And he used to say, I have a pad next to when I read the Bible or I pray, because my brain's always going, oh, you need to do this. Okay, I write it down, he says, and then I go back to what I'm doing. 2 minutes later, okay, ladies, same thing, or the kids are coming home in an hour and I only have an hour and I got to do this and this. Write it down. Write it down so that the next time you take care of it before you get into your prayer time or in the Word of God. It is a choice. It's the highest priority. The reality, you know, it's like some of us, our highest priority when we get up on Monday morning is to head to Starbucks and get our coffee. And that's good. That's wonderful. But the reality is, because we always do that, because it's a lifestyle. Make it a lifestyle that you relate with God. In Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9, this is after Adam and Eve sinned. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound or the voice of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why? Because this is just after the fall. But the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" Now, again, as I've said this before, is some of the words in the Bible of reactions of people are really the saddest, because you recognize why people struggle in their life, in situations of their life. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Don't get all messed up with the word "because I was naked." We are talking about hearing God's voice. They heard God's voice and fear manifested. That never happened before. When they heard God's voice, it was a priority for them to find him and to talk with him and to walk with him. The reason people become afraid of hearing the voice of God is because of sin. Or, let me say it this way to the believer, it's because we really don't recognize the power of our salvation. That fear has no place in our life because of what Christ did on the cross. And so we can grab words that I say and think, "Well, sin, well, there's sin in my life and I've done that." No, that's not what we're talking about. It's because the original sin of the rejection of God, the reality of what sin does is cause fear in your life, even to fear the voice of God, and you hide. There are things that you and I go through, things that maybe we can't stop, that there's stuff that we're doing and we can't stop, and we're asking the Lord, how come I can't stop? And I want to tell you, it's not because of what you're doing there. It's literally, listen very closely, it's because you've forgotten that God wants to have a relationship with you. And that very thing you're struggling with is something he's got an easy fix. Spend time with me. You're not going to have to walk in fear because you know my voice. You know me. You know that I love you. Because you spent time with me. You have experienced salvation personally. So follow me. Again, we are talking about hearing God's voice, and when they heard the voice, fear manifested. Adam and Eve were never afraid of God's voice before sin. And we shouldn't be afraid of his voice either. And many believers are. God created them to walk and talk with him in the cool of the day. God didn't create man. Listen to this. God didn't create man and give them a book and say, "Figure it out." God walks in the garden one day and they're not there because he was going to spend time with them. He's going to spend time with the kids. He says, "Where are you?" He then hears Adam's voice from behind a tree saying, "I heard your voice and I'm afraid." Man, again, fears the voice of God because of the non-recognition of the voice, because they haven't experienced personally the relationship that God so wants with you and me. So vital. And I'm trying, in my explanation here, is, and I'm talking about the highest priority, I'm trying to get you to prioritize, not trying to get to feel good, and I'm talking to myself, but to really get down to the business of, it's not about the thing, it's not about the situation or the problem. It really is about, am I really hearing God and who he is? Am I experiencing personally a relationship that automatically overwhelms me with the love of God and the peace of God? That's what mankind has lost, to have that wonderful, open communion with God. That's why quite a long time ago, Pastor Ryan was talking about something during worship, and then Pastor Dan the same day talked about communion. We receive communion, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to receive communion every single day. And ever since that time, I have been receiving communion and spending time, and sometimes it's a minute, however long it takes me to open up that cup. You know how we struggle with that? Or it's an hour long that I sense the presence of God. And I open up and I see the juice. I understand the representation of it, what it represents. And I just stare at it. And I'm not staring at juice. I'm staring at the man, Jesus. I'm not saying that I see Jesus. I'm saying that I see who he is in my life. And I can't even partake of it with such a passion and a care for who he is in my life, such a respect for him. I have to wait, and I listen, and I talk to him. And some of you are you know, you struggle. Many watching online, maybe you're struggling in an area. And maybe that's why you don't even attend church. You're faithful because we watch, we see the numbers. You're faithful of watching the church service. But because of what's in your heart, in the pain and the ridicule and the feeling of worthlessness, you can't even show up at a church. And I get that. I get that because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to believe you don't have a thing with God. You're going to squeak into heaven. And I want to tell you, you got a God that loves you, that he died for you. Have you ever heard the old hymn called In the Garden? It's the song that was written about Mary Magdalene in the garden with the resurrected Christ. And part of the song says, and he walked with me, and he talked with me to tell me I am his own. That's what you learn when you make it your highest priority. He will tell you every single day, you are his own. And he died for you and he loves you. We're talking about the voice of God. God is walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the garden. They sin and become afraid. So God answers, he sends his son to redeem them, to redeem us so we can walk and talk with God again in the garden. That's why Jesus came. He has restored to you the ability to walk and talk with him again. He has restored to you by the blood of Jesus Christ, the stripes that he took on his back, to hear the voice of God again. That's what he has done. When you hear God again, breakthrough takes place. See, let me explain this. I can teach you methods. I can teach you doctrine. I can teach you theology about hearing God's voice, but I can't develop that personal relationship with you for him. I can't develop that. That is beyond my control. That is a choice you make to be with him. Now, I know we all have caller ID on our phones. And again, as I've said before, my number is unlisted. Because there are some things that I do, and I work with some people, that if they got my phone number, they would call me at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I like my sleep. Sometimes I get calls, it's no caller ID, and most of the time it's either my wife or it's Pastor Larry Titus, spiritual father. And so I answer it, and when I call him Dad Larry, and when he says, "Hi, Gary," I know it's him because I spent time with him. I know his voice. You can't tell me that's not Dad Larry because I know Dad Larry's voice. I really believe in my own heart because I've made it the highest priority that God, I can be walking down the sidewalk here or in the courtyard and I could hear, "Hey, Gary." And you could have 50 other people around, but I know God's voice. And if he says, "Hey, Gary," I will know that voice. I will know that he's speaking to him, to me, and then me to him. So spending time with God is our highest priority, to walk and talk with him, because that's what you and I are created to do. We will succeed in many areas of life, but here's the greatest priority of your life, from your business, from your job, from your marriage, any relationship you have, your highest priority is having relationship with God. Spending time with God, because that's your greatest success. So here's my second point. Relationship with God is our highest pursuit. Almost sounds the same, but we have to create our actions and why what we do. My heart is my highest priority to relate with God, talk and walk with him. But now I need to also create actions on a daily life. Everything that I do in my life, my highest pursuit is making sure my actions provide time with God. All right, so you got that? So let's just kind of go through that. The question, what caused Adam's sin? There were two trees in the garden, the tree of life, and the other one wasn't called the tree of death, even though it was. The other tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you had two trees. I asked the question, what caused Adam's sin? The tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I'm going to make a statement now. God never designed for you to live by choosing between good and evil. Never. That wasn't God's plan. God designed you to live by hearing his voice. I'll say it again, because this is so real to me. And this is what I was hearing today. I was over there and I was singing. And sometimes, I don't know, sorry, Miss Pat, but I was so much into what God was saying to me that my voice might have been off big time. And I don't know if maybe you moved over about another 3 feet or whatever, but the reality is God was speaking. And a tendency is to choose between good and evil. That's evil, that's good. And so my life will be here leaning on that side. But God designed you to live by his voice. God told Adam and Eve, eat from any tree, just don't eat from my tree. He told them that with his voice and designed for them to live life by hearing his voice. Matter of fact, watch this. God never wanted us to know good and evil. He never wanted us to judge, is this good or is this bad? He didn't want that lifestyle. But do you realize how many times every single day we're deciding what's good and what's bad? How many times we say, well, that's good for you, that's bad for you. So what we do now is it good or is it bad? God's plan is it good or is it God? Because God created all good things. When you're hearing the voice of God, You're hearing good. You're seeing good. You're experiencing good. You're experiencing thoughts that are good. Or is it God? Because I want to tell you, in this world, things can be good and not be God. Good can be bad if it's not God. People can do good things and it's bad. So God gave us something when man sinned. He gave us a conscience when man sinned. See, God, that wasn't God's plan. His plan is you to hear his voice, to walk and talk with him. So our conscience tells us what's good and evil. But here's what your conscience then is supposed to do when he gave it to you. It's supposed to bring you to Christ. See, all things from God is good. All good things come from the Father from above. And I'm not trying to play on words to confuse you, but I'm trying to really get you to a place of recognizing how easy it is to think we're doing God when we're just doing good in our own thinking. And what I want us to do is always do the God thing, not because you're so spiritually minded, but it's because you have a relationship with God. You spend time with him. And you are guided by his voice. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And if you study, John chapter 14 through 16, he'll talk all about that. He'll tell you the things, to come. He'll tell you what I said, I'll tell you what the Father said. He'll tell you what I said. In other words, it's all the same. It's the Word of God. It's the spoken word towards you or the written word. It's always there. So people ask, well, how do you know what's good or bad for life? People always answer, my conscience. The truth is you have to recognize, no, how do you know it's good or bad? It's because you hear his voice. Your conscience brings you to God because he never intended you to live by your conscience. Hebrews says, if your conscience is not cleansed by the blood of Christ, then you will serve God out of dead works. Doing good things, but they're dead. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, listen to this, for this reason, Christ is a mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. It says here that he has died as a ransom to set us free from our sin, and we have freedom. Now, as long as you have a guilty conscience, sometimes we do things to get God's favor. See, I don't do what I do to get God's favor. I already have God's favor. The blood of Jesus Christ. Because I walk in his ways. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. I can raise again both hands, both feet, fingers, toes, signs, whatever, to tell you, yeah, I've made mistakes. But here's the reality. But it's all under the blood. And I need to recognize it, and how do I fix that in my life? As I hear the voice of God, and I act on that voice. I do what I know that I'm supposed to do by hearing the voice of God. Remember last week we talked about proving the word and proving our actions from the word. And so I'm not talking about just whatever, however we feel, we're being led of God. So instead, we go to God in prayer, receiving God's grace and God's free forgiveness. Then you again can serve God by his voice and break through. Sometimes we're in bondage. Sometimes we're, that was the word I was trying to think of 10 minutes ago and finally it came to me. But sometimes we're in bondage to things. We're even in bondage to our religion and not relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? We have to get to that place. Think about it. Think about the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Once man sinned, man began to live by his own conscience. How many of you heard this expression? I can never do anything that would violate my conscience. I can. Because if God speaks to me and says to do something, and my life has trained me to do a certain way, I will violate my conscience. Because God's speaking to me. If I get in the Word of God and the Word of God says things to me, and it's something that is guiding me, correcting me, as the Bible does, I say, because I live by my conscience there. And I can violate my conscience. That's what I'm trying to bring to us today. I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have a pure conscience, okay? The scripture says to live with a good conscience, but it actually says to live with faith and a good conscience. How do you get faith? We learned that in this series by the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing. Consequently, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. And that, you know what that's saying? According to my series I'm bringing you, it is saying live by the voice of God, then you will have a clean conscience. Again, people say, I can never do anything that will violate. But my question, what if God told you to do it? I said to this lady one day, and about 8 years ago, I went back because I knew I taught on this part. And I went back and I told you this. She said, well, God would never tell me to violate my conscience. And I said, so God is limited to your conscience. God's bigger than me. When you relate with God, as I have endeavored to do, you begin to understand that your God is so much more of a loving God. He's so much more of a forgiving and gracious God. Every single day, it's kind of like, you know, wives, when your husband, you know, wants to hug you and, you know, kiss you on the cheek, you know, you push him away a little bit. That's God. And I tell you what, it brings such peace, such joy, even in the midst of tribulation, when you pursue and change your actions to pursue that and to receive the love of God. She was very smart. And I said, so God is limited to your conscience? She was smart and said, well, tell me where God told someone in the Bible to violate their conscience. So Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and so I said, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. Would that violate your conscience? See, I'm not saying we do something wrong, but I'm trying to get us from living from the wrong tree. I really want us to get to this truth. God created us to be able to live by his voice. Adam and Eve lived by his voice until sin came in their lives. Jesus came to restore it so we could have relationship by living by the voice of God. What is God saying about your decision-making, your job, your business? Hearing his voice is your highest pursuit. Highest pursuit. And last, I'll close with this. Hearing God's voice is our highest passion. Our highest passion is to have that personal relationship with God and knowing his voice. Luke 10, 38 through 42, famous story. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Please notice what she did. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Or do you not care that I'm so busy with my business, my kids, school, whatever, etc.? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You ever been there? Worried and troubled with many things. This verse, verse 42, is so important. But one thing, how many? One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus didn't say, no, you don't serve. You stop everything and just whatever, spiritual. No, so spiritually minded, you're no earth or good. But he said, but choose that one thing. If there's anything you learn from this series, please understand, I'm trying to tell you what Jesus told me here and what he's telling you. Every day of your life, if there's one thing you have to choose to do, hear his voice and develop that relationship with him. He's 100% already in. What percentage are you in with Jesus? So the one thing needed is sit at Jesus' feet and hear his voice. This is the one thing in having total breakthrough. And the Holy Spirit's told me to stop here. Let me say this. This is the one thing in having total breakthrough is a passion to hear his voice. You've been blessed by the word? Yeah, let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship team, thank you for this morning leading us. What a joy it is. What a joy it is to hear the voice of God today. He's speaking. What is that situation? What is just tearing you apart right now? What is that thing that just has a tendency to happen over and over again? And it may not even be bad. But what is that something that's always like pulling you away? So that pure conscience is that relationship. If that relationship is not there, then the conscience is not pure. And now you battle your decisions in life. Now you start hanging around with the second tree. Good and evil. Okay? that you're choosing what's good, what's bad. And then, I don't know about you, but before I got this revelation decades ago, I used to try to build my spiritual life on my, quote, spiritual conscience. In the decisions of what's right. What do I need to quit? What do I need to stop? What do I need to do? I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. And I could say that for another 5 minutes because that's what happens. We got to do this. No. Highest priority, the voice of God. Make a decision to change yourself to act upon what you heard from the Word, the written Word, or His spoken Word that matches with the written Word. Because you've proved it. And then what happens is then you're not battling stuff because your conscience is not second treeing it. Your conscience understands the first tree. You're born again, child of God. All sin has been forgiven. Breakthrough, you're free. That's who you are as a child of God. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. Father, I pray over our Spanish church this afternoon as you are blessing them. Father, I thank you for an amazing anointing over our pastors, over that house. In Jesus' name, from tonight, the youth, the children, the adult Bible study, blessings upon that, as the Word of God will absolutely turn us around and walking in the things of God with relationship with you. Blessings upon every house represented here. Our children, our grandchildren, our siblings, our parents, our grandparents. Blessings upon those that we touch because we walk in that perfect realm of God. And we give you praise for that. Thank you, Lord, for healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you for all you're doing. God bless you.